why I started it, because, you know, there's a lot of, there's people who need things that just don't get them.
Right.
No, keep talking. I'm just tuning.
Pay me no mind.
It sounds nice.
Like we're going to start at some point.
Oh, we're started.
Why? Doesn't this turn green?
No, red means you're on.
That's good to know. That doesn't make sense.
What?
I would think green would be the color.
I can't imagine Trish trying to criticize an industry standard where your mic is hot.
Is that the whole red?
Yes.
Oh, it's hot, huh?
Right, a hot mic is red. That makes sense. Now it's acceptable.
Oh, I understand. Okay. Want to make a podcast? All right, here we go. Get down there. Hey, this is a very unwarmed up John. And this is, of course, Home From Here. Bits of business before we get going. I am playing at Lifetime Chappaqua April 18th from 12 to 1. If you want to come hear that, you get to see my people. And then April 21st is the Lifted Project. That's getting closer. It's also getting bigger. We have to wear laminates. There's a press section now. I understand there's going to be a green room, which means I have to make a rider because I need Perrier.
Oh, God.
And I am with my co-host who has the same last name, Trish Burton.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Well, I don't know how to respond to you when you said you're cold, so I'm hot and cold.
No, the only thing that was cold about me was my hands.
Everything I'm kidding. I know.
we are here with Kristen Lee.
Hi. Yeah.
How you doing?
Good. Okay. Kristen Prince. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry?
Kristen Prince, yeah.
Oh, Prince? Yeah. Why did I think Lee?
Well, because I go by that pseudonym, so you know, people can't find me and harass me if I don't want them to.
Oh dude. All right.
Smart.
That is, I will tell you how smart that is. I have one internet troll, but because I use my real name and stuff, I have one internet troll who writes everybody I know. You'll probably get an email about what an asshole I am, and it's because I'm forward, and so I have this website called Ivory Style. It's about clothing. This is complete. You'll get to talk.
Okay.
So when I took it over, it was pretty misogynistic, pretty racist. And so the first thing I did was I put so Ivy Style is a men's fashion, and so but there was a woman who does it better than all of us, so I featured her as my first move to just say, hey, this is the direction we're going to. Apparently there are parts of the country where that's received less favorably than other parts. And so most of it has settled down, but I still have one guy, and he will pose as four guys. So you did absolutely the right thing.
Yeah. I mean, years of working in ERs and hospitals, I learned after a while that I needed to, you know, use my middle name instead of my last name most of the time. But yeah.
Did you have an incident?
Oh, yeah, tons. I mean, you never
really?
Know. Oh, yeah. I mean, so I've worked in like tons of the local hospitals and
right.
ERs. And, you know, when you get upset patients and upset patients' families, they, you know, stalk you, or, you know, even vice versa, patients who really, really like you.
A little too much.
A little too much is right. So, yeah. So, you know, I never kind of got back to changing
okay.
all my, names. But, yeah. Professionally, I'm known as Kristen Prince. Yeah.
Okay, and can you explain your training and background? And
yeah.
We should tell people who you are before we. By the way, Duchess Hudson Valley hero, you are in my eyes. I love what you did. So we will get to that.
Oh my gosh.
No, I really love what you did. And you know Carrie.
I do. I know Carrie. Carrie's on my team.
Carrie's
She's amazing.
The bomb.
Yeah, she really is.
So you want to hear a stupid thing I did? See, it's more about me. You want to hear a
Get all the John stuff out of the way.
Yeah, let's
get Carrie. You mean Carrie Zach?
No, Carrie Montalbano.
Oh, okay.
She's a trainer. She makes the exercise videos we love. So she came in and did the show, and we hit it off like really well. She's just, you know, foster parent, and she's incredible. Mm-hmm. So she's also a trainer, and in addition to working with you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I work out a lot, so I'm like an idiot. I said, hey, you know, we should work out sometime, thinking it would be like one of those, yeah, and it would never actually happen. But then we started pestering each other, texting, like, okay, when are we doing it? When are we doing it? and so I said, okay, now I'm going to work out with her. We made a plan. And so I went back on her exercise videos, and I said, she's going to make me do all this stuff. I got to make sure I could do it. So yesterday, I spent some time trying to do her stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to get hurt.
Oh, God. What is there that you can't do? I'm pretty sure you've done everything.
The thing I showed you yesterday with the weight on my leg, while I'm on my back. Trish doesn't follow me on Facebook, so she didn't see it.
For the same reasons. I'm on and off. I have an up and down relationship with hot and cold.
With social media.
Yeah. All right, so that's enough about John. So please, your background training, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so
let's get to know you for a second first.
I'm a family nurse practitioner. So the cool thing about family nurse practitioners is we were nurses to begin with.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What's the difference between a nurse practitioner and a doctor? Because if you can write prescriptions, aren't you a doctor?
So, you know, I respect my doctor colleagues immensely, you know, and they have the professional title of doctor.
Right.
You know, in 44, I think it's 44 states in the United States, we have full practice authority and autonomy, which means that as nurse practitioners, we can practice independently. We don't need a physician to work with us, sign off on anything we do. So there's really not that huge of a difference. You know, we go through similar training. You know, I work hand in hand with physicians. So it's kind of, you know, a lot of people have different viewpoints on, you know, nurse practitioners, physicians, physicians assistants. You know, we all practice medicine in our own special ways and have, you know, different things that we can do. So, you know, I'm a family nurse practitioner, so I'm trained to see babies through the elderly. You know, I've learned like OB.
Everybody.
Yeah, okay. I can see everybody. You know, some people are specially trained in psych or babies or women's health. Yeah,
oh, okay.
I see everybody. Yeah. And, you know, I started out as a nurse, like, you know, on just like a med-surg floor and like worked my way up to working in the ER and a bunch of trauma centers, which I really, really, really loved. But then I had this like epiphany moment where I was like I feel like compassion fatigue, you know, and that's something like in the medical field we, you know, talk about a lot is compassion fatigue. You know, through COVID, it was just like, you know, literally like my mental health was there were some days like I was going like I worked in Newburgh at that time and I was like driving over the Mid-Hudson Bridge and I was like, I think I should just jump off because it was like so traumatic, you know, not only for all the families and everybody going through COVID, but like the providers too. You know, it was like I remember like I was just like seeing everybody die. And I like one of my jobs was to just call families and like talk about end of life. And I was like, geez. So, you know, after that, I'm like, I need to go back to the ER, you know, just like save lives. And then one day, you know, I'm working there as a nurse practitioner, making my rounds, and just got done with a trauma and lost a patient. And the, you know, patient in the other room is like, comes out screaming at me because they've been waiting for 2 hours for like something like that they could have like gone to their primary care doctor for.
Right.
And I was like, it just hit me. And I was like, I can't do this anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is instead of being angry at that person, I was angry at the system, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the reason that that person was in the ER was because, like, they couldn't get in with a primary care provider.
Right.
You know, and there was just, like, they were frustrated. We were all frustrated. And it was something so simple that it could have been, like, a 20-minute doctor's appointment, but then they had to end up in the ER.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just things, you know, I kept seeing, like, you know, primary care providers were trained and, like, we're trained, like, A to Z almost. But then it's, like, that Z where it's, like, I can do a bunch of GI things if you have GI issues and do workup for you and try to figure out the issue. But then it's like, I can't do a colonoscopy or an endoscopy. So that's when I need to, you know, send you to, you know, a specialist. But I can do all these other things. And I started realizing that, like, corporate healthcare has made it like that we always we're not even treating what we can treat. We're just always just like sending our patients like to this specialist and this specialist. And then nothing ever comes back full circle. So like I'll never hear back mm-hmm. from that the GI specialist about like their care plan so we can all kind of like coordinate care. So that was like my moment where I was like, okay, I can do this. Like I can see patients in an office and like actually give them, you know, the care that they deserve in like a timely manner. So that's where I am now.
And your practice is called?
My practice is called Dutchess Family Health. So yeah, like so nurse practitioners like me can start practices. Like people call my office sometimes and they're like, who's the doctor? And I'm like, it's me. Like
it's you're me. Talking to her.
It's me. And, you know, people like nurse practitioners, I'm finding, you know, like we, you know, the thing is we started as nurses. We have like, you know, bedside manner. We've held people's hands and, you know, done the kind of nitty gritty stuff.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we can relate. You know, that's just kind of like the feedback I'm getting now. So it's good. It's good to feel like I'm finally like that compassion fatigue has lifted and I'm like making a difference.
Mm-hmm. What is – so you describe the system as you come – somebody comes to you. You can treat them,
yeah.
but you're forced to refer them.
I'm not. No.
Not now, yeah. but you were.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's more so like, you know, that's what I was seeing as an ER provider, right? So like I would see all these patients, you know, sitting in a waiting room in the ER for 5 hours because – you know, my primary care doctor told me I need to go see a gastroenterologist for my stomach issues, but I can't get in with a gastroenterologist for 8 to 9 months. Well, here's the thing, like me, myself, and I know I can do XYZ test on you to figure out like what's going on here. Like mm-hmm. I can send you for imaging of your stomach. We can try like, you know, the medications that typically will work for whatever symptoms you have. But, you know, I feel like the system has changed so much that everybody is just like, oh, go see a specialist, mm-hmm. go see a specialist, instead of just, you know, starting out like with root cause, right? So like I specialize in functional medicine. When I like went on this journey and said, okay, like I need to really like help people like in a primary care setting because like I don't want people having to go to the ER for every little thing. So like I did like years of training on like specialty things where I felt like people weren't really understanding or getting like, you know, the right testing done. So like functional medicine is what I, you know, I claim, I practice functional medicine. And it's not like some people are like, oh, does that mean you're not going to give me medication? No, of course I prescribe medication, but I want to figure out what is the root cause of your illness, right? So I don't just want to bandage things over,
right.
You know? And so we look at like everything, you know, there's a lot of tests I do, like basic tests, but a lot of providers don't do them. And, you know, like just for thyroid, for instance, like I specialize in thyroid disorders. There's so many people suffering from thyroid disorders and they don't even know it because like there's like these three tests that people just don't run. Your insurance pays for them, you know. So I'm still trying to figure out why a lot of providers don't, you know, order these tests. And maybe it's like not interpreting them correctly or, you know, just not being able to have the follow through with it. But, you know, it's really like not following, you know, this little black, like this little box of how like, you know, these are the normal values and things like that. You have to treat patients, you know, symptomatically and listen to them. And there's so much more to health than just like a number on a lab or, you know, how, you know, what their blood work says. It's like holistic, mm-hmm. right? You know, I tell my patients every day, I'm like, inflammation is the root cause of all disease, right? And we live in a constant state of inflammation, right. Stress, mm-hmm. the things we put in our body, even if we try to eat as healthy as possible, the paint on the walls that have all of these chemicals, like we just can't avoid it, but we can try, you know, to heal ourselves as much as we can through, you know, healthy mind, healthy body, and really trying to figure out, like, why am I sick, mm-hmm. you know? So that was, like, my goal, is to just really give people another option other than, like, the big, you know, corporate practices where, you know, you kind of just feel like you're, you know, one in a thousand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's nothing against those practices, right? But I wanted to be something different. I wanted people to feel like they could be heard, and kind of give them, you know, options and say, like, listen, like, they haven't looked at this, but, like, let's kind of look at this, you know, and making people feel okay to, like, cry in my office and, like, tell me, like, the personal things. Like, health is so much more than just, like I said, like, a lab, a blood pressure, and all those things.
Can I just ask a quick? So do you have a physical space, or are you a visiting? Yeah. Do you go to houses, or?
So we have an office in Hopewell Junction. So I'm from Hopewell Junction, so, like, right in the heart of town. I found this old doctor's office, and we renovated it, and it's, like, this really cool zen space now. So I see patients in there. You know, I also thought it was really important to offer, like, home visits to patients. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw my mom take care of my grandparents for a really long time and, like, have to take off work and all these things. And, you know, so I do offer, like, home visits. Like, you know, some of my patients have, you know, kiddos that can't leave the house and stuff. So I see them there, do telehealth, kind of, like, I meet my patients where they need to be, mm-hmm. you know, because I really truly believe that, you know, everybody deserves really, you know, really good care.
Mm-hmm. I'm moving to your practice.
And the, yeah.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. I am. No, yeah. No, wonderful. It sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other, because, you know, the minute you try to make that appointment and you know, if it's the dermatologist, you're a year out. If it's, I made an appointment for my daughter for, like, an adolescent gynecologist, it's December. Like, it's,
yeah,
you know. So what's your turnaround for as far as, like, patients coming to you? And
so we always keep appointments for the same week, you know, okay. And, like, you know, just how you said, like, gynecology appointments, like, you know, that's kind of where I took, like, my training, like, from A to Z as a family nurse practitioner. You know, I do preventative pap smears, I do preventative derm, because it's such a long wait to get in mm-hmm. with these providers. And obviously, like, you know, if something comes back abnormal, I refer out to the specialist. But mm-hmm. I don't want people, you know, healthcare anxiety is a huge thing. And a lot of patients who come to me just have, like, this anxiety, like, about having to wait for this appointment, or, you know, feeling like there's something wrong. So, you know, for the most part, we have appointments the same week. And, you know, like, if you're my patient and you're sick, like, you can get on telehealth with me that same day. And, like, you know, we can figure out what's going on mm-hmm. and, you know, treat you there if you don't feel good enough to come into the office and things like that.
I'm serious. I'm coming.
Yeah. No, I mean, being, it sounds to me. I mean, I was in, I had a spot on my leg that I was concerned about. So I made a dermatologist appointment. And I... you know, naively thought, oh, he'll look at some other stuff, right? I'm in there. Like, once I'm in there, I was like, oh, he would not look at anything. Like, I'm like, in a full body check. I mean, because then I had to wait 6 months to get the full body check. And, you know, it doesn't take that long. We were talking about inefficiency before, and the inefficiency of, you know, I was in the office, I was there. It would have taken him 10 minutes to do the full body check, but here I am having to, like, go back online, wait another 6 months for the full body check. And it's just, like, there's just so much inefficiency everywhere. And all of this, like, almost like these roadblocks in the way of, and then, like you said, especially dermatology, any of it, gynecology, dermatology, is very anxiety provoking, right? If you're worried about something, or you're worried about that body check, that body scan, you know, it's on your mind, and you're worrying about it for a year. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy, you know, and I feel like a lot of it's dictated by health insurance companies, and I just, I have, my frustration really does lie within them, you know, but it's a necessary evil, right? So, like, we all work so hard for our health insurance.
It's not a necessary evil. We could go socialized and get rid of it tomorrow.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts about that, you know, because.
What do you think?
I think you know, we really need a huge change to our healthcare system. I mean, I just think it's so complex that, you know, it's like a mammoth, and who wants to really take it on, you know? Mm-hmm. So like my goal in life, and this is like, you know, years down the road because I have young kiddos, but like is really to like go back to like you and working on Capitol Hill one day and like work in healthcare reform, because it's just so it's so disappointing, like what I see my patients go through every day, you know. To you know, like Trish and I were kind of talking before the show, like I probably spend me and my staff spend probably more time arguing with insurance companies over covering tests that I really feel are important for my patients, medications that they need, than actually giving patient care. And it's like, why? We talked to 5 people who don't have any medical background and, you know, are just checking boxes off of a list, to finally have me get to talk to a physician and say like, hey, this is why my patient needs this test.
Right, right.
You know, like talk about wasted healthcare dollars.
Right.
You know, originally, you know, I wasn't going to take health insurance. I was going to be like, you know, what they kind of call direct primary care, which is like basically like, you know, fee for service, cash based.
Right.
And then I was like, you know what? Like, I've worked all these years, you know, busting my butt for health insurance for me and my family, and like other people do it too. So, you know, while like it's a struggle, you know, especially like getting health insurance just to pay me, I think like people really do rely on their health insurance, you know, and I think right. It's important to offer them access to somebody other than like these big corporate entities to see.
Also, from a marketing standpoint, I think sometimes people think if you don't take insurance that they're not going to get like the full scope of,
right.
of services, because you know, it's going to be based on what they can pay. And
mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
you know, I better I go to a doctor who will take my insurance. And the insurance.
The ground shaking?
Oh,
it is shaking.
Why is the ground shaking?
Might be a little earthquake. No, they're doing construction.
Oh.
I hope. That could be part of it.
It's the gods are
telling
us. As long
as I wasn't the only one that felt it. When I'm the only one.
The gods are pissed at the healthcare system. That's applause from heaven. The my take on the problem with the healthcare system and insurance versus socialized medicine is the insurance-based medical care provision system works for a smaller population. Because insurance is a numbers game, right?
Okay.
And when you get to a population this big, you're going to have so many claims, and that to support those claims, premiums are going to have to be so high that. And I'm not even putting malfeasance into the equation or greed. I'm just saying from an actuarial standpoint,
mm-hmm.
the numbers of every time we went to see one of Trish's treatments, the rooms were full, and I won't tell you I'll tell you off air what the final bill was for her treatment, but there's no way that we would pay that in our lifetime.
No,
if we didn't have insurance.
Right.
But the problem is, but somebody's paying that. Everybody else except Trish is paying that. Except now there's
or they're not getting the health care.
Well, no, but they are, because the insurance companies wrote the check. So the insurance companies got the money to write the check to help you from somewhere. And they got the money to write the check to help you from people who weren't getting care but were just paying insurance, like your car insurance. That's where that money comes from. Yeah. But the problem is
I was talking about people that don't have insurance.
Right, but
insurance.
I'm saying why it doesn't work. Right. It numerically doesn't work anymore. Mm-hmm. There's so many Trishes. And the cost is so high that the argument is, well, yeah, but we have the best healthcare system. And I pull out the life expectancy chart for countries, and we're like, I'm going to Google it when we're done, but like 16. And I'm like, wow, there's 15 other countries. I'm making that number up, but it's in that range where people live longer. Maybe they have a better healthcare system. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, and I hate to keep saying it, but, you know, I get letters from health insurance companies, and they say to me, well, your patient has hypertension and high cholesterol. Why aren't they on these medications? Mm-hmm. Well, because those medications, in my opinion, they don't need them. You know, we're working on diet and lifestyle changes, and, you know, statins aren't the best option for them. Just because your little checklist says that, you know, we have medical licenses for a reason. We've gone through this training. So, you know, just like how they deny my request for an MRI for somebody or a PET scan that I'm concerned that they might have cancer, how is that up to you to decide? You know, this patient is paying for their health insurance, you know? And then half the time I'm like, and then it kind of goes back to how our conversation started. You know, I'm like, you know what? Go to the ER.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
right.
You
right.
know, because right. then they're going to pay for it. And right. that is kind of this vicious cycle of, you know, the truly, truly sick people who need to be in the ER are waiting hours and ER providers like myself are burnout and mm-hmm. leaving. You know, right. like there was a crisis, you know, I think a year or two ago where ER residencies were the lowest applied for residency. You know, because
makes sense.
You know, it was just like
who wants to go through
who
that?
Who wants to do that? Right. Yeah. You know, and it kind of like it kind of starts at that root. Like you have to trust number one your healthcare provider, but in the system, and that is kind of what I'm like seeing every day is people are losing faith. And then there's really good people out there who truly want to help people. But then there's also people out there who are taking advantage of these people, you know, who really don't have like a huge medical background or training and are like, you know, having people pay cash to do like these like, you know, tests that aren't even, you know, clinically proven or anything like that. And I'm just like, I feel sad for them,
yeah.
you know, because they've been let down by the medical system. And obviously they're looking for other avenues to feel better. But is that really the best thing for them, you know?
And one of the things about nurse practitioners that I really like is I think nurse practitioners have the best vantage point for the importance of mental health while people are in treatment. Like the level the more the degree to which you are mentally healthy, my opinion, and you can tell me now, but the degree to which you are mentally healthy while you are receiving treatment for anything is going to speed up your recovery and your healing significantly. Mm-hmm. And I think having been hands-on, nurse practitioners see that, so they incorporate that into their practice.
Yeah.
Is that...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The first thing you learn in nursing school is, you know, teaching, patient teaching, right?
Right.
So there's so many times where we just like, you know, I've seen, you know, just slapping medication.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's the root cause of this, right? Like, why?
Right.
And, you know, like I said, I meet my patients where they need to be, right? We like talk about like anything. We talk from supplements to medication and everything in between, because there's a need for all of these things as long as we know why you need them, right?
Right.
You know, people come into my office all the time and, you know, for anxiety, depression, and it's a real thing. Like, mm-hmm. you know,
honey, you're sitting in the right chair.
Yeah. I mean, like, God, I mean, I've suffered from anxiety, you know, my whole life. And I have to say, like, the
how do you manage it?
I do meditation, yoga, and I take Lexapro,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
and I, you know, a lot of my patients come in to me and they're like, I don't want to take medication. Like, it's going to alter my brain chemistry.
That's the point.
Yeah. And, you know, I say, you know what, if you don't want to take the medication, that's great, but we have to make sure you're safe. And mm-hmm. the thing that I say to them is, you know, I can run a blood test and I can say if you have an infection. I can run a blood test and I can say if your thyroid's not working and a multitude of other things. There's no blood test to tell me if you have low serotonin, low, you know, dopamine, all these things.
Right.
There's no way to tell that. So, yeah, maybe sometimes we do need these medications because they help with that. But you also have to do the other things, right?
Do you know my story?
A little bit of your story.
Okay. I'll give you the 30 seconds because I'm going to prop your point right up.
Yeah.
So I went crazy.
Okay.
And like loony bins crazy. And because of my situation at the time, I was seeing like four different doctors from four different, and everybody was throwing pills at me. So at one point I'm on like seven different medications,
mm-hmm.
including lithium,
okay.
which when you give lithium to John Burton, it gets toxic.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm lithium toxic.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Nobody fucking picked up on it.
My therapist at the time, who John wasn't very thrilled with was the one. And he wasn't even in the room. I was explaining like his symptoms.
Yeah.
And she said, it sounds like he's lithium toxic. Yeah. And I was like, we've been to all these doctors. Nobody has said anything.
Mm-hmm. So I was dying.
And she was right.
And so one summer I made a decision. I'm just gonna go cold turkey.
Yeah.
And cut everything out. And I went through 2 months of withdrawal like you wouldn't. I mean, you might believe it, but nobody else would believe it.
Yeah.
Sleeping in towels and throwing up in buckets and looking like Nick Nolte's mugshot. And
you didn't do it this month.
No, I didn't. You're supposed to wean yourself off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't.
You're that bad patient.
That's not the John style. Yeah.
But, you know, everybody does it that way.
But that was 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I have a regimen like you. I meditate and I get up every morning and write pages and meditate twice a day and blah, blah. And I manage sitting in your underwear hunting for aliens crazy without medication now.
That's awesome.
And but to your point that to everybody seeking medication for your mental health, there are other viable options maybe for you.
Oh, yeah.
But I also think because I went through my own journey with anxiety and like before my diagnosis, a couple years before I was seeing my physician about it. And, you know, she said Lexapro may be a way to go. So, but I think initially my gut was to go in and say, I don't want to be on medication, right? Because that's like, it's like there's a stigma to it and you feel like I can do this another way. And, you know, to each his own, like there's all different, sorry, I'm on some weird thread there. But so, you know, I like we have this joke in my family that my first response is no. Like if Gramercy says, can I go?
Oh, it's not a joke.
So like I think that was my first response to medication. Like I went into the office thinking I don't need medication. I don't want medication. There's got to be an alternative. And of course there are. But, you know, the Lexapro was something that I did end up taking and, you know, was very successful on. But I think there's that for me anyway, there was that first step of no, I'm not. I don't want medication.
But it's so funny how much, and tell me if you think this is true, it's so funny how much it's changed though. Because when I said I'm going to manage it myself 9 years ago now, when I said I'm going to manage it myself, this is not a pun, everybody thought I was crazy.
Yeah.
But now today if you say, hey, I'm going to meditate, work out, do stuff, people aren't as skeptical about that anymore.
No.
Is that true?
That's my first go-to for any of my patients, right? You know, that's why I brought therapists into my office, because therapists, you have to have therapy, right? You know, and like any you know, provider who, you know, legitimately understands the process says, you know, you can give a medication, but it always has to be adjunctively with therapy, right?
Right.
You know, and again, we're working to get our therapist credentialed with insurance companies because there's so many therapists. Like, I would say 90% of therapists don't take health insurance, mm-hmm. and it's so sad to me because people just can't afford it.
Right.
You know, you can't afford that $100 out of pocket week after week.
It's a ton, and
it is so beneficial to have therapy, even like group therapy. Like we're starting group therapy, like from, you know, I have a lot of patients who do weight loss because, you know, there's such a, you know, being overweight in itself causes people anxiety, depression,
sure.
you know, and all the health, you know, all the negative health things that go with being overweight. And I've been overweight my whole entire life and like finally was like, hey, I'm going to help people in this office in this respect. I need to help myself too get healthy. So like I, you know, did that journey at the same time that I was like,
good for you.
You know, starting
what'd you
all
do?
This. I, you know, changed my diet, started working out, started meditating more.
There you go.
You know, we have like a really like good diet program. And you know what? Like in terms of medications, sometimes we do medical weight loss, but it's like a really healthy way for patients to do it, right? Like
right.
I don't pass out pills. I don't pass out, you know, antidepressants. I don't pass out weight loss medications. You have to work with us, right?
Right.
In any respect to your health, because, you know, that's kind of what I found was happening is like patients were just being like, just here you go, here you go, mm-hmm. here you go. And there was no follow through, like, you know, kind of what you were saying, John, about how you were seeing four different doctors who put you on all these other medications. that's what's happening. So patients are going from doctor to doctor to doctor, and nobody's talking to each other. And then we have all these patients on all these different medications that they don't need or interacting with each other. And then there's no follow-up, right? Like, you know, you need lab work before you start any kind of, you know, medication, weight loss program. You need, like, labs. You need to see, is there an underlying issue too? Like, you know, what is actually happening here that we need to treat? And kind of it's like kind of become the Wild West with all these things. You know, there's online like mental health, you know, medication places and online weight loss places. And yeah, that's great. It's convenient for a lot of people. But who is actually managing this, right? At the end of the day, who's actually got your back and is saying like, I want to check in with you and make sure that like, you know, you're okay.
I was thinking about it and I think your practice is probably the future of medicine here, because I don't think I think the insurance industry is too big to that we're ever going to move to fully socialized medicine. On the other hand, I think so many of us are frustrated with the healthcare system to the point where people are going to see how successful you are and model that.
I hope so. You know, I mean,
and I have the name of a good franchise attorney for when you are.
I would love that. You know, I mean, the sad part is you know, it's hard to make a living, right? Like, so especially fun fact. So, yes, nurse practitioners can do all the same things doctors can do, but our reimbursement is 80% of physicians. So I literally get paid 80% of what a physician gets paid to do the exact same
job.
Yeah. So, you know, it's hard, you know, all the overhead, you know, taking time, like, you know, my appointments with my patients are 30 to 45 minutes, not 15 minutes.
Right.
You know, but at the end of the day,
how many hours a day do you work?
A lot.
It's got to be a lot.
I work a lot. I still work in the ERs. You know, it's like it's hard to like break that, you know, bond when you have like that passion for what you do. You know, but I'm like, you know, I just got licensed in Florida, too, because like that's where I'm from. So I have a lot of friends.
She's
and
franchising
family.
Anyway. I knew it.
You know, no, you know, and as much as I like to become like this big, huge thing, like I want to always be available for my patients, right? Like that's why I started this, you know, to be able to like really give that one-on-one personalized care. So, you know, if I can find, you know, other people that can have my same mindset.
That's what I was about to say. The trajectory for you, though, would seem to be, because you asked my advice about your career, so here it is. The trajectory for you, would seem to be like at some point, at some point, if you believe enough in, and you clearly do, if you believe enough in what you're doing, you don't want what you're doing limited to only you doing it.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know, if you have created this, it's not even an alternative. You've created this medical practice with a particular philosophy and strategy that works. You don't want that to only be to the, I don't know how many patients you can handle, but whatever that number is, there's probably more people in America than the number of people you could treat. So
I'm
good at math like that. I would think that would be, you know, the model. So good for you.
Yeah. You know, and there are people out there doing what I'm doing. You know, I think it's getting the word out there, you know, like.
Even about being a nurse practitioner, like, you know, if you asked me 5 years, and I'm have seen my share of doctors and stuff. If you had asked me 5 years ago what a nurse practitioner was, I even think I remember asking Trish one time, I'm like, what do you mean a nurse practitioner can write a prescription? I thought you had to be a doctor to write a prescription. So just even that is something that we have to have to learn about.
Yeah.
Or the difference of, because I didn't know, you know, if you hear a physician's assistant now, and a lot of times when you go into a doctor's office, that's who you'll see. Instead of the doctor, you'll see the physician's assistant. So it is, you know, kind of confusing. But
you know where this is accepted? That dentist. What? One third of your appointments with the dentist are actually with the dentist, and the rest of the time, right?
That is 100% true.
But there we don't blink. There we're like, yeah, of course I'm going to the dentist to not see the dentist. We'll get there.
I mean, you know, and I think people are, you know, I mean, the majority of my patients I see are like, I love nurse practitioners, you know, and I love nurse practitioners too. You know,
I wish this was TV because you kind of danced when you said that.
Well, I mean,
she did do a little.
I was a dancer in my previous life. So,
oh, really?
You know, oh, yeah, yeah.
What kind of dancing are we talking about here, young lady?
Not the kind from poles. Okay. You know, like the ballet, tap, all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so
you have kids?
I do. I have three kiddos.
Three kids.
Yeah.
And a husband?
Yeah, and a okay. husband. And,
so here's
and a dog, you know.
Here's my question. When you I'm with a teacher.
Yeah.
When you go home
mm-hmm.
and you're telling stories about work,
yeah.
do you start dropping frustrating medical jargon that you know he's never going to understand in every single
it's
story
the right.
and then get mad at him for tuning out?
It's the acronyms. It's all the acronyms.
So, this is actually like, you know, full transparency, like, was a huge problem in my marriage, was the fact that, like, we do totally different things, right?
Right.
Like, he owns a sports cards and collectibles company.
Oh, cool.
Like, complete opposite spectrum. And like, I would come home and like have these like horrible days. And like, you know, obviously I can't like give like patient specific information like HIPAA, but I would be like,
right.
I lost a freaking kid today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and like would want to talk to him about it. And he can't. Like,
right.
he's like, I get it. I love you, but like, I can't hear that stuff. Like, we had to work through that in our marriage because like, having a job like that, like where you're like constantly like it's high stress, like you never stop for 14 hours and, you know, not having somebody who wants to like hear that because, you know, kind of they don't understand it, you mm-hmm. know, and it's like, I don't want to hear about the guy who came in with his limb torn off after a motorcycle accident. Like that just grosses me out. And like, so, yeah, we don't really talk about that.
But to the point of how much stress nurse practitioners and ear nurses and people like you go through, his reaction is pretty normal.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear yeah. about people's yeah. legs being torn off. But you're facing every day what the rest of us, I won't even see that in a movie, let alone hear a story from my,
yeah.
from my wife. Did you go to a marriage counselor?
Yeah, you know.
You want to hear a great marriage counselor story?
Yeah. Oh, God.
So this one,
stop it.
We go to the marriage counselor, right? And the marriage counselor says, I want you to make a list of all the things. She's laughing because she knows this is true.
No, it's not true.
She said, the marriage counselor says, I want you to make a list of all the things that you think you're accountable for, where you're the problem.
Yeah.
So I come in with a legal pad. And we're going over, and everything I say I'm responsible for, Trish is like, yep, yep. Yep, yep. So then the counselor goes, all right, Trish, where's your list? She goes, I don't have a list. It's totally his fault.
That's not
That is true story.
Maybe I had one yeah. or two things on my list.
Maybe you didn't have a list.
That, you know.
But it's hard. How do you self-care? What do you do? Other than the meditation, meditation is not really self. I mean, it
yeah,
is, but
yeah.
it
is.
Well, and being a mom of three.
Yeah,
on
that's,
top
a,
of
that's
it,
a hump.
Yeah, and you know. That's something I have to work on, you know, is self-care. Like, and I, at the end of every day, I'm like, I tell my patients this, right? Like, my big, like, one of my hugest things that I talk to my patients about is giving yourself grace, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, you have to just give yourself grace and not be so hard on yourself, right? About a multitude of things, like whether, you know, you are struggling with obesity or high blood pressure or mental illness, you know, like, you have to give yourself that time and say, like, we're going to get through this. And, you know, I'm not going to be perfect every day. And, you know, my kids might not think that I'm the best mom every day or, you know, the laundry's not done. But, like, giving yourself grace is something that I'm trying to do too. And in that, I'm trying to find how to self-care for myself, mm-hmm. you know, because you get caught up in this hamster wheel of, like, especially I feel like when you're want to help other people, you know, and you're taking on like their burdens all the time,
right?
You know, like, oh, geez, like, mm-hmm. I gotta figure something out for myself. So, you know,
one other thing that always when I go to the hospital is. And maybe I always was kind of like, why do all the nurses smoke? And now I'm connecting with like, now I know why they smoke.
Yeah.
Like, it must be like a self-care or a stress relief where I can get 5 minutes outside.
Right.
And because I'm like, you're a nurse. I know you know better.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
But they're always outside. It's the nurses that, you know, are, I That's probably what it is. They need that self-care piece.
That makes me sad, though.
I know. Yeah. I mean, it's not as bad as it used to be, but I definitely, you know, we would see the nurses outside.
You know what teaches? You know what teaches you that grace thing?
Yeah.
And I bet you'll relate to this.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation can be the most self-punitive thing you can do because you're never going to do it perfectly. You're never going to do it well. I wrote about this morning actually about how. A successful meditation practice isn't a minute of no thinking. It's a minute of releasing thoughts and just not blaming yourself for thinking and thinking you're failing at meditation, but thinking and then releasing it so that it doesn't own you. And it's the same thing. Like another thing that will teach you grace is working out.
Yeah.
Because there will be things that you absolutely cannot do. And if your formula is I'm going to quit because of things I cannot do, then you're going to quit.
Oh, yeah.
So grace is so hard to teach, though.
It is.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I actually decided, you know, in your point, working out is like hugely, hugely beneficial for, you know, every single reason there is.
Yep.
So, you know, I decided a couple of years ago that I was going to become a runner. So
do you run?
Yeah. So I had some setbacks running with some broken feet, you know, so.
Broken feet will hold you up.
Oh, my gosh.
Broken feet. Did you break them running?
Stress fractures. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So not
how hard
shoes.
Were you going?
Well, here's the thing, John. I decided one day I was going to become a runner and ran a marathon with no training. So.
Nice.
Oh, gosh.
Nice.
You know, but I mean, now I know better, you know. But yeah, you know, it's those little moments for yourself that you have to take. And, you know, talk about mental health. Like working out is amazing for your mental health, right? But, you know, it's also working that into your day, you know. And
right.
Well, you know, and it's also especially something like, you know, working. I mean, meditation, I think no matter how much you're doing of it, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, there's benefit there. It's a little bit easier to fit in, but I mean, my daughter's 16 and there's still some times where I'm like, well, I'm going to work out. Maybe I should be hanging out with her. You know, I don't know if your kids are littler, but you're giving something up for that time.
The thing with working out, because I spend a lot of time at the gym, and there are those who tell me, like, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours a day in the gym is a lot. And I'm like, hey, if you want anything out of me for the other 10 hours of the day, let me do this, because I used to spend that 3 hours in a bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so if you want anything out of me for the rest of the day, let me do my 3 hours, and then I'll come out too tired to make a bad decision, and we'll have a good day.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you I'm trying to think of the right way to manage this. No, it's not. It's good. The chronic pain.
Yeah. Okay. Chronic pain is a thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that one. What's that one disease?
The autoimmune one, Crohn's. Yeah.
There's
Crohn's,
tons, like so rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah. Oh no, not rheumatoid arthritis.
Spondylitis. There's
lupus.
Kinds.
You're thinking of
No, I'm thinking of one that I'm not sure is a real thing. But
well, that's the problem with chronic pain.
What is my view on it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. So I don't specialize in pain management, right? But I have a lot. I do specialize in autoimmune conditions, which is something like I took like a lot of certifications.
What's an autoimmune condition?
It's basically your body attacking itself.
Okay.
You know, so like rheumatoid arthritis, lupus is an autoimmune condition. Thyroid, there's some autoimmune thyroid disorders, there's, you know, and then there's all these autoimmune conditions that we probably don't even know about, right? And there's no, you know, there's no like definitive test for many of them. But like kind of like going back to the beginning of our conversation, inflammation is kind of the cause of the root of all illness, autoimmune conditions, chronic pain. You know, there's a difference if you've had an accident, you have chronic pain, but you know, I'm of the belief that first of all, like narcotics, right? So we had this huge narcotic crisis in our country and still continue to do so. And narcotics only work for a certain amount of time until your body builds up a tolerance to them, right? So it's just kind of like a depression or anxiety medication. You can take those, but you have to do the other things to help yourself, right? Like physical therapy, weightlifting the more muscle you have, the better support for your joints, your bones, you know, all those things. So everything has an adjunct, right?
Right.
There's tons of supplements you can use to help.
Does turmeric work?
So, yeah, I mean, turmeric's a thing. And, you know.
That's a no, by the way. When a nurse practitioner says.
I take it every day.
When a nurse practitioner tells you that's a thing.
Well, they told me not to take. That was the. besides my multivitamin, they didn't want me taking anything that would interfere with the chemo, and turmeric was the second thing that they said after my vitamins.
So I have like a really strong stance on supplements, right? So So number one, so many people are on way too many supplements, right? And like whether it's like all the social media, you know, or you know, the MLM companies, which I have nothing against, but
what's an MLM company?
Multi-level marketing. Okay. You know, like so you know, we're putting these things in our bodies. Number one, we don't know where they're coming from. We don't know, you know, if they're just fake chemicals. You know, half the things are coming across the country from China in these big vats, and we're just scooping them into, you know, these things. Like, if you're eating a really healthy, well-balanced diet, there's only a couple, like, you know, supplements and vitamins you really need to give your body. Like, I have patients come in, and God bless them, I love them, that have these like long, long lists of supplements. And I'm like, listen, all you're doing with this is taxing your liver and your kidneys by putting all this stuff
making
into your body.
All that, yeah.
Yeah. You know, like eat whole, eat clean, and take like, you know, a couple of supplements. Like, glutathione is a supplement like that I preach about because it is so amazing.
Say it again.
It's called glutathione or NAC. So NAC is the precursor to glutathione. And it's like proven to really help with cellular regeneration, autoimmune conditions, gut health.
Write that down.
so like that's when I'm like, you have to do glutathione. You know, vitamin B12, D.
Oh,
you
preach
know,
B12, man.
All those things. But like, you know, all these like supplements with XYZ things in them, I'm like, let's just stop that and see, like, you know, maybe your gut issues are because you're putting too many things in your stomach. You know, there's also, you know, kind of talking about the chronic pain and the narcotics. There's this, it's technically a medication, but it's not like in big pharma yet. And I think my thought on that is because it'll put like, you know, a lot of big pharma out of business. Yep. It's called low dose naltrexone.
Write that down.
So we give it, you know.
You don't have to actually write it down just because I say write it down.
I'll send you a list.
All right. Thank you.
But, you know, naltrexone is what we give for drug overdoses, right? So there's all this new research, you know, and old research too, but now it's like coming, you know, more full, you know, it out and providers like me who do the research. So low dose naltrexone is really helping people with chronic pain, curing autoimmune conditions. It's like vastly anti-inflammatory. It helps a lot of people with, you know, addiction issues and things like that. So like that, like technically is a medication that we get from like something called like a compounding pharmacy, kind of like old school, like how pharmacies used to be. They make the medication
right there. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, you know, that's another one of my huge go-tos for my patients who really are like suffering. And I'm like, hey, let's, number one, you can't be on opioids if you take this because it's the opposite of an opioid. And I'm like, let's try this, you know, let's get you off these like opioid pain medications and try this low dose naltrexone. And I'm having patients with amazing results. Like rheumatoid arthritis is curing, like Crohn's disease symptoms are just going into remission. So like, it's just, you know, you have to find the right provider for you. Number one, that you like
I just
mesh
did.
With and that like wants to like, you know, meet you where you want to be. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, like, and say like, hey, there's other options here for you. But also is tough on you and says, listen, like, if you want this, you got to do this too, you know?
quick B12 story.
Yeah.
So 2 days ago, I forgot. So I do like 2.5 hours a day in a gym.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So 2 days ago, I'm so harried with like this lifted project thing coming up. And
it's so exciting.
Oh, thanks. Are you coming?
Yeah, I am coming. I wouldn't miss it.
Awesome. I'm 10 hours a day. So I forgot to drink. I drink like this sports drink powder thing, but it's got B12 and caffeine to take my caffeine.
Yeah.
Because like 3 months ago, for some reason, I just got disgusted with coffee all of a sudden. And so anyway, 2 mornings ago, I threw 3 B12s in my face and went to the gym. Not remembering.
John Leon, more is more.
No, I get, but it was I had a big day coming, so I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do. I wasn't probably even three really, but I threw a lot of B12 on my face, and B12 works so well that I didn't even know that I forgot caffeine until the next day when, like, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up with my head like in a nutcracker because I'm like, oh. And I went out and I like made myself a cup of coffee, and like 20 minutes later, that's how addicted to caffeine. But B12 works, man.
It does work. It's great. Yeah. It's great for all the things, you know, energy, metabolism.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's very.
I have a logistical. So when you work with the insurance companies, like, do they, or a big, what we're calling big pharma, do you get, like, pursued by the insurance companies to push certain, like, we're seeing these movies. I mean, my basis is, like, the latest Netflix movie about this, you know, where you see the reps go and they're taking up again inefficient time for the doctor. And
so that used to be huge, right? I don't know, like, the specifics anymore of the pharmaceutical, you know, reps and what they can and cannot do, but it's nothing like what it used to be. You know, like, we get invited to, like, talks with, like, dinner and things like that, you know, like, lectures from them. They'll stop by with, like, pamphlets and things like that. But there's no, like, lunches or, you know, I know what Netflix are you're talking about. Like, yeah, that doesn't really happen anymore, you know. And I mean, I'm not sure if maybe it's because I'm a smaller practice and I have, like, a lot of thoughts about things, you know, like, when I prescribe medication, like, it's something that I truly believe in, you know. So, you know, you can throw something in my face and I'll be like, yeah, that's great, but I'll research it myself and, like, look at clinical trials and things like that, you know. And that's why I think it's really important to make sure that, like, whoever you're seeing or whatever supplement brand you're using or medication, you really understand, you know, and it's been, like, proven, you know. There are, don't get me wrong, there's cutting edge, like, new medications and stuff that really are helpful, but sometimes I think, you know, people are just, like, bandaging things and with medications that they really could be better managed with something else.
Mm-hmm. How do we?
Right. I have one more question.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, you said that you got out of, one of the reasons to get out was because you didn't have, like, the full circle connection of if you referred somebody out. So do you? I'm assuming that you still refer people out if they need to see a gastroenterologist. So do you have more of that connection? And
Yeah. And, you know, that, and that's something, like, I continue to work on every day, is, like, forming relationships with providers who kind of have similar viewpoints on healthcare that I do, you know, have smaller practices. You know, obviously I refer out to larger practices too, and I let my patients decide, you know, who they feel most comfortable with. But it's just taking that extra step of reaching back out to that provider, right? Or contacting my patients. Like, every one of my patients who I do labs on, I go over them with a patient. Like, I don't just, like, put it in their portal and be like, here you go. You know, because now with Google, you know, everybody kind of, like, goes down this rabbit hole. And I'm like, no. We're fine here. Like, let's talk this through before you convince yourself that you have everything. You know, and it's just kind of that. Yeah, it takes extra time, but it's really important because I really feel like people need to be, you know, in charge of their health, right? Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, they have to understand how it all works.
Right.
What's the best way to find your practice and join? And
So DuchessFamilyHealth.com is our website. We're on social media. And, you know, we I really pride myself on, we have people answering our phones when you call us.
Oh!
Yeah.
Well done.
So you can call us, too. And you can talk to my awesome staff. And, you know, we call you back. You can message us. And, you know, a lot of my patients have my cell phone number. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's bad. But
that's a roll of the dice.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you know, at least I know, like, hey, if there's something really important and I need you to go somewhere to an emergency room or something, I'm going to be the one calling and making sure that you get good care. So
crash.
I'm awesome.
I think what you do is really cool.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I'm serious. I'm coming to you. Will you take me as a patient?
I will take you. We're taking new patients every day. So
good
come
luck.
On in.
Duchess Family, say the website one more time.
DuchessFamilyHealth.com.
Well, thank you for coming in here. And
thanks
for
having me.
Thank you for having the stones to leave corporate and, and actually make a difference. That's no joke.
Yeah.
No. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
DuchessFamilyHealth.com?
Yeah, DuchessFamilyHealth.com.
This lady's amazing. You are not in her presence. I am. I'm telling you, she is the real deal. I'm switching. And I'm John. And that was a medically oriented home from here.
so much for doing this.
Yeah, it was so good. I feel like I want to give you guys a hug.
Please.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that was great.
You're amazing.
Yeah, thank you. We'll keep in touch.
Yes,
please.
Yeah, I absolutely will. And I'll send you this, and I'm joining you. So I'm being dead serious.
I love it.
I'm coming here.
That's great, Jerry. I'll talk to you guys
soon. All right, talk to you later. Bye.
Did you guys feel the earthquake?
Yes. That was an earthquake, right?
Yeah.
I was like, why is the room shaking? And he's like, they're doing construction. That felt
that
very,
was an earthquake.
That was weird.
Some are saying 4.9, some are saying 5.5.
What? I told you, that was weird. That was a weird feeling when you feel
it. Where was it? Like, it was based in Jersey, but it was felt in Boston and all the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Weird stuff happened.